Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thank you, City Limits. Let's go out to the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline where we find another hockey man. His name is Sean Gentile. He writes for The Athletic. Sean, how are you?
Joe, I'm well. I'm also curious, when Zeiss isn't around, who do you sing the Good Feed Store jingle with? Is it you and City Limits?
Yeah. Yeah. You missed it. We sang it earlier today. Bet you're sorry you missed that, huh?
If I listened to that, that meant I wouldn't have been working on writing a preview for the Winnipeg Jets Colorado Avalanche series. So yeah, I am sad I missed it.
Thanks to the Good Feed Store.
That was it. Paul, that's what you missed. Eating. No, I think we did it well anyway.
Thanks to the Good Feed Store.
Too good.
This guy called in sick at 9:32 a.m. Lest I tell you, the show starts at 10. I mean, don't you know you're sick before that, Sean?
I worked with Paul for several years. I'm not surprised by any part of that story. We'll just leave it at that.
Well, let me ask you, who has a better chance to win tonight, the Flyers or the Canadiens? Those are the two teams that the Penguins need to win.
I'll go Flyers because I'm still just in disbelief that the Caps have managed to keep this up for as long as they have. I think they're probably the worst of the teams that's actually still in the running for a playoff spot. That's including Philly. So, yeah, back-to-back days of Charlie Lindgren. I mean, I don't know. The Flyers are my pick, mainly because the Caps are just, you know, credit to them for banking points the way that they have, but they've got a knack for, you know, winning games by one goal and then getting stomped, you know, at every turn throughout the rest of the schedule. So I still can't believe that they're in the spot that they're in. So I'll pick them to be the loser tonight at least.
And how does the other game break down? The Red Wings and Canadiens have played three times this season. Every game's gone to overtime. Mm-hmm. And I know the Canadiens are bad, but I still feel like it's not the type of franchise that's going to lay down. The game's in Montreal. That was an embarrassing thing that happened to them last night. Maybe I'm just hoping against hope here, but are we in for at least a little bit of drama?
I think we could be. I mean, I don't think you're hoping against hope. Again, I think all these teams are pretty bad, and that's including the Penguins. Like, we're talking about three or four pretty intensely mediocre teams, I guess, if we want to be charitable here. Like, the Red Wings are not that good, and the Canadiens are frisky. They're well coached. They have a couple guys having really strong seasons. Like, Nick Suzuki's has kind of leveled up for them this season. Juraj Slafkovský, who was the number one pick last year, you know, didn't show much as a rookie, but he's made major, major, major strides, especially over the last couple months. So they have, you know, a group of skaters that can get it. It almost worked out for them last night. You know, like they have guys. They're well coached. They're clearly playing with pride and still actually care about the results, which I think is huge. So no, I don't think it's any sort of, you know, hope against hope situation, because these teams are not that good. and all these teams, whether it's Detroit or Philly or the Caps or the Penguins, can easily get smoked on any given night. That's just the way it is.
So when we come to appraising the Penguin season, we're talking to Sean Gentile. He's on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. I see some silver linings here, perhaps, as it relates to next season with Bunting, with Drew O'Connor, I think, can be a pretty good player. I like the new third defense pair. I don't know. Who knows? The big question for me is Jari. Is mm-hmm. he going to get traded this offseason? Do you believe in Jari? And what happens at the goaltender position if they move on?
think the better question is who would trade for Tristan Jarry. Mm. Do you want that contract for as long as it is? And if you're the Penguins, are you willing to eat some of it over the duration? Like, could you move Tristan Jarry and say, you know, hey, Team X, who's desperate for a goaltender, you can have him, give us something back, we'll retain 20% of his contract for the next, you know, 4 years. I don't know if that makes sense on any side, right? So to me, I think the most likely outcome is that we have some version of a run it back situation for next season, where I think we're going to see him again because,
oh,
you know,
my God, I can't take this anymore.
I mean, it takes two to tango, man. If you're talking about Tristan Jarry like he stinks, and there's a lot of validity to that, like he hasn't been good. But if you're, you know, the LA Kings or whatever, someone who wants to add there, you're going to add that contract for that long, at that much money for a guy who we're not sure is any good? Like, I don't know. It takes and then, like I said, the flip side of it is that if you're the Penguins, are you willing to pay him money to not play for your team? I don't know if that's all that palatable either. So I don't know. I feel like, you know, if you're saying what team is Tristan Jarry on in October or whatever, I still feel like it's the Penguins.
I'm fascinated, Sean, by some of these trophy awards races here. Guys are having elite seasons. Kucherov, 142 points. MacKinnon, 138. McDavid, 132. Austin Matthews, his next goal will be his 70th. Do you have a vote for the Hart Trophy? And if not, who would you vote for?
I don't this season. It kind of fluctuates. I go back and forth on I feel like I'm alternating years at this point with the vote, which is fine because it really stresses me out. It's a very anxiety-inducing process. So I'm fine to not have a vote. And I'm fine to not have one this year because it's a really tough choice. I think I would eliminate Kucherov pretty quickly because he gives a ton of points back. He's not a good defensive player at this point in his career. For as unbelievable a playmaker as he is, as fun as he is to watch, as much as he produces, I think, you know, his defensive impacts are kind of disqualifying when you're talking about those other three guys. Like, there's too much given back there. Matthews, I think hands down is the best offensive player of the four of them. That dude has grown into just a 5-on-5 workhorse, right? Like, he's maybe not Selke caliber, but I think he's pretty close. And that's in addition to, you know, potentially scoring 70 goals here. McDavid, 100 assists again this year. He's the best, but I still think that MacKinnon would be my pick. I still think he is going to win the award. And I think part of it is not just because he's been unbelievable, because he has, but it's just one of those things where, Joe, you know this as well as anybody, voting for this stuff is narrative-based. Sometimes it's just, you know, the best story tends to win out, or the guy who deserves to win, you know, or whose time it feels like it is the dude who actually gets the award. And I think that's what's going to happen with MacKinnon this season. Like, he's a top three player in the league. He's playing about as well as you possibly can, and he's never won a Hart Trophy. So it seems like he's gonna be the guy, and I think he'll deserve it.
The Miles Garrett Defensive Player of the Award year of I can't even say it. I'm more interested in another story. I'm also depressed at the moment, and I can't figure out why, but I need to raise my game. The world's oldest man. One mm-hmm. John Alfred Tinniswood. He's even older than Ron. This guy's a
I knew it was coming.
He's 111. He lives in Liverpool, where the Beatles are from. He says the secret. What?
Wait a second. Does he live in Fort Myers?
No, and he does not look like Ron. He says the secret to his longevity is luck plus regular fish and chips. This dude is 111. He goes out once a week. He was born a month after the Titanic sunk. He goes out once a week for fish and chips, and he says if you drink too much or eat too much or walk too much of anything, you're going to suffer eventually. Do you buy this guy's philosophy, and how long do you want to live?
I buy it. I think all things in moderation, including moderation, is always kind of a kind of a good motto to live by. I absolutely do not want to live to be 111 years old, though. If you put me in my mid 80s, it'll be more than enough, I think.
Really? How about
you? How long do you want to live?
I want to keep going for a while, as long as I can watch sports and eat. Limits? How about you?
As long as I can live, I would like to live. Yes.
I'm not saying like when I'm 84, I'm gonna like go on an iceberg and sort out the sea,
make his own Titanic.
I just don't know how. Like, you see some of these people when they live to be that old.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I'm 108. You see photos of them or listen to the talk, and it's just like they seem miserable, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't want to get to that point.
No, that's.
But if I'm 111 and still crushing fish and chips or whatever, like, yeah, that's cool. I'll take that. I think the odds of it happening are very slim.
Yeah. I, the other side of it is I'm already sick of everybody, including myself, and I'm only 58. Like, where am I going to be 30 years from now if I'm still alive? How sick am I going to be primarily of myself by then?
Primarily of yourself, but also Paul Zeiss, who you will be hosting a radio show with 30 years in the future as well.
Oh, my God. Story number two, airline passenger fined in Sydney, Australia for urinating in a cup. Foul play here, or could it be that this guy had to do this, Sean? Where do you fall on this one? He was fined $395 for this.
Was he in the actual airport?
Like, he was on a plane, and they were stuck on the tarmac for a while, and he decided to pee in a cup. And he was, here's the other part of the story. He was obviously quite drunk and spilled urine on the flight attendant. That's a plot twist. That's not good, right?
Anytime you have the phrase spilled urine work its way into a story, that means something's usually gone pretty wrong.
Maybe the question here in Limits, you can jump in. If you see this happening, do you jump in on the plane? A guy spilling urine out of a cup?
I think spilling it's frightening enough not to.
You just let it happen.
I got to admit, man, I would let a lot of things out there happen. I'm scared of everyone and everything.
I don't think I'm allowing a guy to, if he's my seatmate, if I'm in the middle seat and the guy against the window starts to pee in a cup, I don't think I'm allowing that to take place.
What do you do, Sean? Do you get up and get physical?
Yell at him? I don't know. Like, what do you like? what can you? I would try.
All right.
Like, I'm not getting a stranger's.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, if I was right, if I sat there and I saw a man pouring urine on the flight attendant, I guess Limits. You have to get up then, right?
Yeah, I guess
that's unacceptable.
It's past the point of just because I'm with you. Like, I'm not a conflict. You know, I'm fairly conflict averse, but like this isn't just someone being impolite. This is someone who's actually, you know, causing some degree of harm and being legitimately gross. I'm not letting that go down.
One more urine related story for which I apologize, but this is unbelievable. I mean, this is on the Associated Press. What is it? Cicada? Is that what these things? Cicada? What are they called? The things that
cicadas?
Yeah, cicadas.
Cicada. Okay. Cicadas are nature's weirdos. Mm-hmm. They pee stronger than us, and an STD can turn them into zombies. Mm-hmm. Does the notion of a strongly peeing cicada zombie frighten you?
Cicadas are generally, they're frightening, like overall, regardless of whether they're STD crazed zombies. Like, we had them 1 year.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Was that Ron?
Yes.
I love it. Yeah, like we had them. I went to the University of Maryland. We had them. They popped up. Cicadas did 1 year while I was there. They are disgusting. They're loud. They're gross. Like you step on them like on the sidewalks and stuff. Like they're bad under the best of circumstances. So,
you dog, you.
Let alone when they become zombies, right?
It happens to the best of us.
Oh, the calliopes can be heard from here to Sewickley.
Thank you, Sean.
You're welcome, Joe.
All right. Limits, what did you think of those last two topics as he says goodbye to Sean? I can't believe this, that these things turn into zombies. I think that's pretty frightening.
Very frightening, yes.
Yeah. I didn't expect to go there with two stories like that at the end.
No.
I always like to present Sean with at least one strange story, but those two seem to be in a weird way related. Are you getting physical if you see someone pour urine on a flight attendant?
I would hope somebody else would be, but I would not, as a 5'10 man that weighs about 145 pounds, want to interfere with that.
I'm trying to think if I've ever like gotten involved in something like that in a public place. I generally it's a fear mechanism that overtakes me, and it sounds like it does with you too. Have you ever been in a fight, Limits?
No, the closest thing to a fight that I was ever in was like me and another guy like staring at each other, and it was no intention on my part to try to fight, and I like fell to the ground.
You fell before the fight.
I was like somewhat pushed, but like not even like close to like, if you had to define a fight, it was like right when I started high school. It was more so like a very brief argument that we ended up laughing at like afterwards. It was literally nothing.
I'm 0-for-1 and I got knocked out. There was a kid named Tony Roloff and I made up a song about him, and then he attacked me with his backpack, and I had to live with that all weekend. It was a sickening feeling because it happened Friday afternoon. I thought it was a good song, by the way. He didn't like it. And so he attacked me, beat me up with his backpack. And then I had to think about all weekend going in Monday morning, knowing all the kids were going to know and laugh at me.
Pretty upsetting, Ron, huh?
So you... Was this the type of thing where we're going to fight at 3 o'clock after school?
No.
You were staring at him like it was a boxing pregame, and then you just dropped out of fear?
Yeah, maybe. No, I did not just drop out of fear. It was like a...
You fell, you said.
Yes, I bumped into a desk. I fell on my own volition because I bumped into a desk. And that was the closest that I ever got to.
What was the dispute?
I don't know. It wasn't even much of a dispute, but this is the closest thing that I could think of to ever being in a fight. Actually, I have a better one.
Yeah.
Me and a very, very good friend of mine... we're arguing about like literally just dumb stuff, like sports stuff. Like we were on the wiffle ball field, like year one.
Yeah.
And we were arguing. There were a couple shoves, but then like we laughed about it the next day. That was really nothing.
Did I tell you we used to play wiffle ball at this one guy's house in the middle of parties? We'd go out and have these unbelievable wiffle ball games.
You did. You also said you'd buy us a fence.
What?
You'd buy us a wiffle ball fence that we need for our season.
Did I tell you the ritual we had?
No.
There was we'd break out a brand new wiffle ball every time, and I would pour the fresh wiffle ball into Adam Brown's hands.
Oh, you did say that.
Yeah. And then one day we tricked him, and there was a steaming pile of dog crap that I poured into his hand. Did I tell you that one?
Yes, I'm sure it made him very pleased.
We almost had a fight that day. I would have been 0-2. Sean Gentile's a nice man, isn't he?
He is. He certainly is.
And a good sport for stories like that, right? You and I are maybe the last two people on earth that anybody would want if something breaks out in public on their side.
Yeah, I don't think that we'd want, because me, just if you look at my figure, is probably not going to win too many fights.
No.
And I'm not afraid to admit that. And Joe, you just don't like physical altercation either.
No, I don't. I told you the only other time was at the Pink Flamingo in Buffalo, where they give you a whole case, your own case of beer. You sit down, little OV splits, they're miniature beers. And once again, I was either singing about somebody or laughing at them. And they started to beat up my friend, Marshall Reinhardt. And instead of defending him, I ran. And the last thing I remembered was looking up on the street in Buffalo and having a giant army boot from one of these dudes kick me right in the teeth. That's why I have this tooth right here limits. It's half bonded. It's half not real.
Oh, man.
That was bad. I deserved it.
Yeah, maybe you did.
Oh, the calliopes can be heard from here to Sewickley.
Poor teeth.
What's happened here? We have to go, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Do we have texts in the city?
We have some texts. We have a lot of responses to our question that we posed earlier about the biggest blunders in Pittsburgh sports.
That was fun.
We have a lot more.
Was. I don't know if it was fun for Connor Joe last night, but
or Will Craig.
It's 1:34. Time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia to see what they can do for you. We're finally... No, that's the wrong read. Where am I? 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. What's cooking? Brought to you by your local GEICO rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Spring is here, and so are the deals at Sun Chevy. SunChevy.com. High is 77 today with mostly sunny skies. Much to Mulsey's chagrin, Tex in the city lives on. Give me a few good ones, and I'll rate them 1 to 10, city limits.
Oh, George and Plum was bringing the heat today. He loves sending in Tex, and he said, guys, you should have a contest for the Pirates tickets with Paul. The winner gets 2 tickets. The loser gets 6 tickets.
I love that. You showed me that a minute ago. That's a 10 out of 10.
It's a 10.
Yeah, the loser gets 6 tickets to go with Zeiss. Next.
Well, he also said that the Joe, Austin, and Zeiss Good Feet Store song sends me to the Bad Ear Store.
Yeah, that's a lot of people don't like that, but Sean Gentile seemed to enjoy it. Next.
We had a professional musician that texted in. He said, love the show. When Joe Block mentions the calliopes, he is referring to the music that you hear when you see clowns perform.
Thank you. I'll give that one a 6.5, and I thank him for taking the time to text in as a professional expert. Did anybody rip me?
Well, there has been some rips of you before.
Let's hear one.
Why is Starkey so fascinated by urine stories? Text me when he gets fired.
That's a 9.5. I like that. It wasn't that I was looking for urine stories. I saw two that seemed to be related. One, about the guy on the airplane peeing in a cup and dumping it on attendants. And two, cicadas strangely urinating with the force of humans, but also turning into zombies.
Two more very quick ones. Ryan from Gibsonia. I'd rather watch City Limits and Joe fight rather than Jake Paul and Mike Tyson.
And who would win? You would win. You would beat me
up. I don't
up.
Know.
I'm old and decrepit.
And the last one, George and Plum again. I have a visual of Austin showing up for a fight wearing his solar eclipse welding helmet for protection.
That's good. That's real good. And if people don't know the story, our friend City Limits was handed a welding helmet by a neighbor for the last eclipse.
That's right.
Two eclipses ago. You know, the Steelers have gone 2 eclipses now without a playoff win.
Very unfortunate.
City Limits. The other story that we love, of course, is City Limits as a 13-year-old going to the only concert so far of his life with his family, the entire City Limits family, and they're all dancing to Jimmy Buffett. I just can't get that out of my mind.
I remember it clear as day.
It's a beautiful family moment. Thank you, Limits. I'll see you tomorrow. We'll
Thank
see if
you,
Zeiss, I don't know if Zeiss will be here, but we'll sure find out. Goodbye.